Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Sweep non-league opponents aside as we make it look easy in the FA Cup against Havant and Waterlooville. Well, for the last 18 minutes anyway. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello and welcome to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez and we'll be looking back at yesterday's 4-0 win over Havant and Waterlooville in the first round of the FA Cup. Joining me to do that, first up, Mr. Terry Smith. How you doing, Tao?
I'm all good. Thanks, Louis.
Yeah. But star of radio instead of TV yesterday again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, back to old school.
Yeah, and you stole my seat in a gantry, which was...
I reclaimed mine, I think.
Yeah, I like that seat. It's right on the halfway line, which I've got since you've been doing Charlton TV. And also joining us to discuss the game, Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, all good, thank you, mate.
Yeah, you feel it's still cold?
Oh, I'm all right, actually. It's definitely warming up again.
Yeah.
Shorts weather, definitely.
I've realised Benji's like the Ranulph Fiennes of Charlton Life. He's gone out today in shorts. And probably no shirt on. He's that hard.
Yeah, exactly. He's wearing nothing but a smile and a pair of shorts, Benji Cloak, when he's out and about in the throes of winter. But anyway, on this evening's show, then, as I said, we're going to look back at the 4-0 win over Havant and Waterlooville in the FA Cup. We'll be hearing the highlights shortly. We're also going to hear, of course, from the caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. We got a little bit from their manager as well, Paul Doswell. He had something to say after the game yesterday. And, of course, we're going to hear from Jaden Stockley. Got two goals in the game against Havant and Waterlooville. I also asked him, you know, first time we spoke to him since the incident, thought might as well extend this story even further. I asked him about the headbutt accusation from Lee Johnson, so we're going to hear that as well in a few moments' time. But before we get on to the highlights of the game, Terry... 4-0. I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever cheered an FA Cup first round goal against a non-league side as much as I did that one from Josh Davison, because that was a massive relief when we finally broke the deadlock.
Yeah, it took its time. We took our time. We had to be patient. I think it was 70-odd minutes before Josh Davison got that opener. But, I don't think we were in any real trouble. Yeah, Hendo had to make that save. But it was, they parked the bus, as you would expect. They had a lot of injuries, having a Waterlooville coming in the game. They could only name four subs, and one of them was a the reserve keeper eventually came on outfield. So, you know, they came with an intention to try and frustrate, and for 70-odd minutes they managed it. We had the lion's share of possession, but most of it wasn't effective until we made the change and he brought Elliot Lee and Ben Watson on, and then it seemed to, well, certainly Elliot Lee's just seemed to spark us into life, I guess, and with them tiring, then the writing was on the wall, I suppose. But, yeah, we just had to be patient. It wasn't pretty for the first hour and 10, but comfortable in the end, I think.
Yeah, but it was a tough watch. But then after that, it was actually a really enjoyable sort of final 20 minutes where, you know, that quality and I guess that extra fitness did start to show. And having the Louisville lost Magri to a nasty injury, and I think Paul Doswell felt that played a big part in the change, Benji. But I mean, are you reading too much into these results? I mean, it was one of those games where we're on the hide into nothing, really. If we don't go on and win it 4-0, then everyone thinks we look like an idiot. If we lose it, then we're an absolute disaster. If we win it 1-0, then you don't really get anything out of it. So it's all about just getting that safe passage and adding a little bit of gloss to the scoreline at the end.
Exactly that. I think it's given some minutes to some fringe players. Albie Morgan, Sean Clare getting some good minutes under his belt. Davison, because of course you've got to look, Josh Davison's going to be, well, probably be starting next Saturday with Connor away on international duty, so it gives these players some valuable minutes. Okay, they didn't really excel in that first half, and in the second half, it took us a while to get into the game. But you look at it like Elliot Lee, as Tel said, came on and really changed the game. He was involved in nearly all the goals, except for the fourth goal. He was involved in it all, and he just showed his quality. But it also gives confidence to the likes of Jaden Stockley getting two goals and Davison getting his goal. Charlie Kirk getting a good assist for that as well. So, yeah, look, okay, 4-0 might have been a bit of a false scoreline because it took us until the 72nd minute to score that first goal. But it just gives these players some confidence and gives Jacko a bit of confidence as well and gives him a good idea of playing players in different positions and seeing how it works and that kind of stuff. So it can only be a good thing. And look, we got another game like that Tuesday where he can try different few things up and see what different players can do. But yeah, it's given some players some confidence and hopefully we can take these into the next few games.
Excellent stuff. Right then, let's hear the highlights of the game on Charlton TV. Your commentators were Greg Stubley and our very own Terry Smith.
Towards the Charlton centre halves, where Alairaway will knock it up to Kirk, who brings it under control, thinks about a shot here, Kirk, and only hit it well enough, but the direction comfortably wide right of the posts, well, wide left of the right hand post. That's good work from Arter to win it back for the Addicts. He might take a shot here, Arter, but he's scuffed it a little bit, and it's this time left of the left hand post.
Free kick, and it's beaten the head of Fanway. It comes to Pasley with the cross, and he almost catches out Henderson. Did he get a touch on that? He didn't.
I think you're right, Ben, being caught wide. I think they might have caught Pasley out as well, because I'm pretty sure he was trying to cross that.
Fanway does well to hold off his man inside to Morgan, who's got Clare to his right, and Clare's got space ahead of him. Clare thinking about a shot, goes for it. Oh, it's difficult for Mannion as it bobbled up, but in the end he did well to hold on to it.
First one on target though, I think you'll find that one straight down Mannion's throat, but even so, at least on target.
That's a nice shift inside edge of the parents here, lays it off for Charlie Kirk with a shot. It was comfortable for Mannion. There was a lot of pace on that. He tried to cushion it into the far post, reads it well, and there is the half-time whistle. After 45 minutes, it's Charlton 0, haven't Waterlooville 0 here in the FA Cup first round. Should take quickly as it comes to Pasley down the line. He's got space, ball back, and it's a shot comes in, I think from Chambers Perillon, which is easy for Henderson. Their first shot on target, but they're starting the second half well.
Finds
the visitors.
Morgan in space, controls. Morgan thinks about a shot, instead goes further right to Blackett Taylor.
We'll take on Newton again, gets past him. Blackett Taylor with a shot. And she caught so sweetly. It's over the bar, swinging in instead towards Stockley. It gets a header and it bounces over the bar. Charlton's best opportunity of the game, you'd
plenty
say.
Plenty of movement in that 6-yard box, plenty of bodies. The corner is sent in into that 6-yard box. It's a header down and Henderson has to palm it away. And Clare will complete the clearance.
To Watson.
Lee will take over. It's lovely ball to Kirk out on this left-hand side. Kirk up against Rooney. Into the penalty area he goes, looking to take him on the left side. Ball back across. It's Davison with a header and it's there. Charlton get the opening goal. It's taken 71 and a half minutes, but the Addicts have the lead.
And Elliot Lee's been on the pitch for, what, 2 minutes? And within that time, he's already supplied a pass to Blackett Taylor for a cross, and this time to Charlie Kirk for a cross. It's a lovely ball out to Lillis' left hand side. Kirk does superbly well driving the ball down the line. It's a lovely cross to the far post, and Davison really couldn't miss. He heads it down into the net, and Charlton have the lead.
Edge of the penalty area, right footed, finds Watson. Thought about a shot, instead gets it across the lead. Lovely little touch to Davison. Looks like he was taken down, and the referee has given the penalty. Just as he tried to find Davison, he was taken out.
Stockley steps forward
and drills it into the top left-hand corner. Top right as Charlton look, and as Stockley was looking, but as the keeper's concerned, up to his left, he had no chance of that, even if he'd have gone the right way.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. A powerful, powerful penalty from Jaden Stockley. And both strikers are on the score sheet.
Blackett Taylor on the right-hand side, up against Green. Blackett Taylor looking to take him on, gets into the penalty area. Gets the ball across. Can Lee get there? Little chest control. Shot off the bar. And then a combination of Suarez and Stockley buried a goal. And I think Stockley was the last touch. And Suarez just asking. That would have gone in. But you can't take that chance. And Stockley gets the third.
Yeah, the chances are going to keep coming for Charlton now. I think if you're Johnny Jackson, you want your side to be greedy. And why not? Stockley got the final touch. Definitely.
Right hand side, can't get past Blackett Taylor. Goes backwards to Oslo. That's a great challenge by Davison. It's run through to Mason Burstow. And on the challenge, takes a shot. He scored, Mason Burstow. What a finish that is from the young man. A great block from Davison on the right hand side. The ball run to Mason Burstow. Running in towards the penalty area. One thing on his mind, and that was to shoot. And he did that superbly to the right-hand side of Mannion. He has his first shot and have their fourth.
That's a man who just keeps impressing, doesn't he? Just keeps impressing. Each time he gets these opportunities, he scored one in the Papa John's Trophy and now one in the FA Cup. What a moment for him. What a moment for his family. What a finish that was. He had Elliot Lee coming inside. He had two players to his left. Any player, the young player, might have thought, oh, I better pass this because if I miss, they can have a go at me. Elliot Lee was right in the middle, might have been the better option. But he had the confidence to go out wide. And what a finish. What a finish that was from the young man. And what a moment. It's the full-time whistle. And a great, great victory for Charlton in the end after what was a bit of a difficult first half. But I felt Elliot Lee coming on made a difference.
There you go, that's the highlights. Terry, it's like you meta, you were there and now you're here. Brilliant. it was a relief, I think, when that goal came, because for especially the opening half an hour or so, we really weren't at our fluid best, I think it's fair to say. You know, obviously we made 9 changes going into the game, more than enough out there that you'd think would go on and beat Havant, but you know, we have to give them their dues. They made it difficult for us, very much so, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, no question. And I said earlier on, they came with the game plan and they stuck with it. And you can understand that because, you know, the difference, theoretical difference between the two sides, both in league position and perceived talent, you'd be hard pushed for them to come and really have a go at us. Although I was a little bit surprised that they didn't, from time to time, at least. But, you know, the... At times, you had the three centre halves that we put out with Deji in the middle and Sean Clare operating on the right side of those centre halves were probably our main threat with Akinfenwa as well on the left side. You know, coming forward, they were our main threat. And if Akin could pass a ball to the right person, it would have been even better. And they were our main threat because, I mean, effectively they played James Roberts up front, and then everybody else was behind the ball. I mean, at one time I looked across, and they had 8 men across the edge of their penalty area. And so it's going to be a tough ask to try and pick your way through it. So you've got to be a little bit more creative. And with all due respect to the side we had out there, I think creativity wasn't necessarily there because it doesn't matter who you play. You know, the opposition team, who are still a all right, semi-professional possibly outfit, are still going to be half decent, and you've got to try and find your way through them, and we couldn't for an hour. It was frustrating, and I thought second half we came out with a little bit more intent. Even before the subs, I thought we upped our pace a little bit. The passing was quicker, because I thought if I was going to put any real criticism on our first half, it was that we were a little bit slow and ponderous coming forward. So the passing became crisper and we started putting a little bit more pressure on. They then started to tire as a result. And then, yeah, when Elliot Lee came on, I was talking about creativity and a spark, and he provides that. And that link between the midfield and the front, he provides in abundance. And we just looked a more threatening side when he came on, and it was easy after that, I think, you know, with all due respect to having a more Waterlooville. Yes, they had their injuries. I'm not entirely sure that Magri going off made a huge amount of difference. I think they would have tired anyway because, I mean, you know, they just had to bear four subs, and it's a tough ask for them. But as Johnny Jackson said in his post-match, give them credit, they put in a decent shift. But, you know, when you have the amount of possession we had, I think it was, you know, 65% or thereabouts, and albeit 20 shots on that we got, there was only six on target, I think, which probably tells the tale, especially in that first half. In the end, I think, you know, I don't think we should be too bothered that it took us a little while to get past the post.
Yeah, I mean, Terry mentioned it there, Elliot Lee made a massive difference for us, and he has been doing that a lot recently, I think, Benji. He's sort of proven himself as probably one of our most important players this season, Elliot Lee.
Yeah, one of those players you'd love to sign permanently. He really shows a passion for the shirt, and he manages to always get a few shots off every game. And as Terry says, he plays a good link up in between the midfield and the strikers. So, yeah, he's become a really good player for us. So you can only hope, again, performances like yesterday, just little short, sharp bursts of 20 minutes, and you just see his worth of the team. It was a lovely little volley he got, wasn't it, for the Stockley second goal. Really, just quick instinct reaction to it was a bit of a deflected cross, when it chest it volleys it, and obviously he did the same the other week against Donny when it was cleared off the line. So yeah, he offers us some real good link up play, but also I think he should be getting a few more goals coming up soon with the chances he's having. He's proves a real thorn in the other team side.
Yeah, he's already off the mark, wasn't he? He got that goal at Gillingham. Can't remember if he scored since then, but yeah, he's looking at a real threat for us. So the goal did finally come on 72 minutes. There was one scare from a corner that was headed down, and Hendo had to make the save. But other than that, he wasn't too busy. I think there was one early chance in the second half that was straight at him. But when the goal finally came, it was great to see Josh Davison again, Terry Peerlian away at the far post, and Charlie Kirk who provided the assist. What did you make of Kirky yesterday? I asked Jacko, and we're here in the interview, but it did take him a while to warm up, and considering this is the sort of game where he needs to go and prove himself to get back into the first team, I wonder if he might have been keener to have been slightly quicker off the mark.
Yeah, again, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about the number of players that haven't a Waterlooville put behind the ball. We found it difficult to find space, and it wasn't helped by, I mean, bless him, Akin is a great defender, but one of the parts of his game that he really needs to probably hone up on, and I'm sure he'll be the first to admit it, is that passing out the back, because he's on the same side as Charlie Kirk, and I think even Papa Suara on that left side just didn't find his target almost. I don't think he ever did, actually, in the whole game. It either went too long or straight to one of them. And so Charlie Kirk was getting more frustrated, as you could see it, and he was eventually coming in and coming deep to try and get the ball and try and impact his performance on the game. Didn't really quite work until, as I mentioned before, Elliot Lee came on, and space seemed to open up because of that. And he improved. Corey Blackett-Taylor improved. So almost everybody lifted, because suddenly there was that spark that we were probably missing up to that point. And he came into the game a lot more, as did Corey Blackett-Taylor. He was almost unplayable for the last 20 minutes. First 70, not so much, because every time Corey Blackett-Taylor went past somebody, there was cover. Every time Charlie Kirk went past somebody, there was cover, because there was two or three men around the ball almost all the time. So took him a while, and that's frustrating. But I don't think you should read too much. Again, you shouldn't read too much into the first 70 minutes. It was a team coming to us to frustrate. Charlie Kirk was probably a victim of that as everybody else, and then suddenly when he did start finding the space, he started to punish, and that cross that found Josh Davison at the far post all on his own was pin perfect, and a great header from Josh to bury it as well.
And always going to be the case, Ben, that once we got one, the floodgates were going to be sort of hauled wide open, and they certainly were. The penalty came a couple of minutes later. Again, Doswell not too happy afterwards. He felt that because I can't remember if it was Lee who got the shot away, if it was Lee who tripped, but because whoever got the shot away after whoever had been tripped, Because they got the shot away, he felt that, I think it was Davison who got the shot away and Lead being tripped, if I remember rightly now. But he felt that because we got the shot away, we shouldn't have had the penalty. But, well, that's not really how it works, is it? Like, it was a penalty all ends up. And it was a wonderful finish from Jaden Stockley into the top corner.
Yeah, you're right. It's a bit silly from their manager, because the big old centre-half at the back, he got done by the quick feet of Elliot Lee, and there was no need for it. As you said, the ball had gone forward to Davison to shoot, and he just took him out. There was no need for it, really, but as I say, he's quite a big guy, wasn't he? So he probably couldn't get out of the way. But yeah, great, great penalty from Jaden. Obviously, he's not on penalty duties if Connor's on the pitch. So again, just gives the player like that a bit of confidence, because last season he missed that crucial penalty, didn't he, against Peterborough, where we lost that game. So just shows, yeah, steps up, puts it top corner, couldn't have asked for a better penalty. And yeah, if he's asked for it going forward, then we know he can score a penalty like that. But yeah, it just gave us that breathing space, didn't it? Especially the first goal was a relief. Our second one, kind of thought, yeah, we've done it now.
Yeah, and obviously you got the third one, which we'll talk about a bit more later, because we do have some funny quotes from Jaden Stockley on that goal. And then Mason burst off the bench, Terry, to score the fourth. So I worked out. So he came on for about 5 minutes yesterday, and not many more than that, about 7 minutes the other day. Whatever it was, it all added up to 13 minutes he's played a senior football against Crawley in the Papa John's, and of course yesterday, and he scored two goals. So on average, I think he's due for about 600 goals a season as it stands.
The boy's a talent, there's no question about it, and I think everybody at the club is excited for Mason Burstow to come through and just show what talent he's got. Anybody who's watched him under 18s, under 23s, will know already what he can bring. And he's, I mean, they called him a striker yesterday, which surprised me a little bit, because I think he's played just about everywhere on the pitch for the under 23s, at least what I've seen. I mean, if anybody watched that under 23 game against Millwall that was streamed, I mean, he scored two goals that day and got himself sent off, I think. And so a lot's been involved, no question about it. And he just picked that ball up from, I think it was a great block that was that came in just on halfway. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Connor might have got the block in. And he picked the ball up a few yards inside the halfway line, just went for it. And he had players in his way, didn't matter, went past them, got into the area, and he had no intention of passing, did he? Just drilled it home. Really pleased with that young man, because he's an exciting talent and a great kid. So, watch that space, because he's gonna affect us, hopefully, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and he didn't take the chance with a knee slide this time after the aborted effort last time. But, yeah, excellent work from Mason Burstow, who came on with the fourth goal for the Addicts. There is one more player I want to chat about, and I'm going to ask you both about it. But, Benji, I'll ask you first. Albie Morgan obviously got a chance yesterday to start, hasn't been involved too much recently, considering this was a big chance. I thought he perhaps didn't grab it with both hands, and now it's getting to that stage now where I'm just wondering if Morgan's running out of time a little bit to prove himself at Charlton. Is that fair to say? I mean, I put in my takeaways yesterday. I think he needs a loan spell, I think, because he needs to be playing week in, week out somewhere, and it's not happening for him here, and he comes in bits and pieces, and it's not, I don't know, he hasn't really done it for me this season, unfortunately. I was really hoping this would be Albie's sort of take-off season, but it hasn't been.
I'd agree. I think a loan spell would help him out. As you said, I think it was, we all were hoping it was going to be a breakthrough season for him. Got given a number 10 shirt, so that's again showing a lot of confidence in him. And when the season started, we weren't blessed with that many midfielders. So you thought, okay, look, they're going to really give him an opportunity to flourish. And yeah, unfortunately, there were a few set pieces at the start of the season. I remember the goal against Milton Keynes with a great ball in and Stockley scored. But other than that, I haven't been too impressed with him. So I thought it was good we took him out of the team to kind of refresh him and bring him back in. But yeah, he didn't really flourish yesterday, I don't think. Seemed quite devoid of confidence. There were a few chances I thought he actually could have had a shot on goal and decided to pass to the side, or didn't really do a clear-cut pass for anyone at all. So yeah, look, it's obviously a different manager now in Jacko. He'll have his own ideas, his own players he wants to play there. He's definitely behind the likes of Gilby now in the pecking order and Dobson. And I guess Elliot Lee, but kind of a different position. I mean, we all want it to work for Albie. Come through the academy. We know the ability he's got. But unfortunately, we're not seeing that on a consistent basis. So, look, if there's a League Two club out there in January that are after him, I think that would be a good move for him to do and try and build up that confidence and try and get that experience under his belt. Because you think he's still young. I think, what's he, 21, 22 still? So he's still got a lot of years ahead of him. But at the moment, I just for the league we're in, I don't think he's shown enough quality to hold down a first 11, a starting 11 spot.
I mean, Terry, you said that you didn't think yesterday was the ideal game, really, for the likes of Kirky or Albie to go and prove themselves. But, I mean, based on his season overall, is this that? I think that it's time to ask that question now. I think it's come around considering what we were expecting for the season from Albie this year.
Yeah, it's a tough one for Albie. I mean, I think most people would agree that his loan spell probably should have come a couple of seasons ago. Even now, is it too late for a loan spell? I don't know. Hopefully not, and I think you're right, actually. I think it has to be a loan spell, but it has to be a club that is doing quite well. I think it'd be counterproductive to send him anywhere where the team's struggling, for example, and needs somebody to sort of save them, as it were. But because Albie's got the talent, we know he has. Yesterday, I wouldn't read, as I mentioned before, and I'm probably sounding like a broken record, don't read anything into yesterday. Yesterday's a potential banana skin. They come with a concrete wall in between us and their goal. And so anybody, none of the side really excelled in that first hour and 10 minutes. And Albie was the same. He couldn't affect the game going forward because there was too much of a brick wall in front of it. But you're right. It's a tough one, and he hasn't excelled. But then, up until Johnny Jackson took over, nobody has really. So I don't think you could pick out one player as being more disappointing than anybody else in that first period of the season. He can do it. Gillingham, for example, he was outstanding in that first half, so it's there. And just maybe the way Johnny Jackson wants to play doesn't fit Albie Morgan necessarily straight away, and he may have to adapt a little bit. And you're right, I think maybe a loan spell could help, but it's got to be the right loan. I thought just chucking him anywhere won't serve any purpose.
Interesting stuff. Right, let's hear from the Addicts caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson. He came in to speak to us after the game with Havant and Waterlooville, and this is what he made of it.
I thought it was a tough game. I thought Havant made things very, very difficult for us, especially in that first half. I was a bit disappointed with us in the first half. I thought we was just off it slightly with our intensity. I know it can be difficult playing against a team that sort of, sits in almost with six at the back at times, and that low block can be difficult to break down. I understand that, but I just felt we was just off it a little bit with our intensity and our pressing, and addressed it at half time, and I thought second half was much, much better. I thought we imposed ourselves a lot more on the game, a few little tweaks tactically that I thought improved us. And run out comfortable winners in the end, but it wasn't an easy day's work.
It's always going to be one of those games where once the first goal goes in, then the likelihood was that the floodgates would open, but you did have to wait a while for it.
We did, yeah. And I don't mind admitting, I was pretty relieved when that first one went in. And then, like you say, you're quite confident after that we'll go on and get a second and a third and maybe more. But, the longer it goes on and they have a couple of set-piece situations, you're thinking, like, we need to get one here. We need to get one because at 0-0 or even at 1-0, they're only one chance away of putting you under real pressure. So, it was important that we got that first, and then obviously after that, it was pretty comfortable, but it was a long time waiting.
And Josh Davison, emphatic header, and obviously Jaden get a couple as well, although Pat might have something to say about one of them, but it's great to see your strikers both scoring today.
Really pleased with that. Jaden, I was trying to bring him off for about 5 minutes. Young Mason was waiting to come on, but they kept getting sort of set-piece situations that I didn't want to lose Stockley for. So he ended up staying on maybe 4 minutes longer than I intended, and then he got his goal. So he'll be pleased with that, and I think it's his 10th of the season as well. So pleased for him, pleased for Josh to get on the score sheet. Obviously, we're without Washington next week, so he's obviously someone coming into my thoughts for that game, and so for him to get a goal was great. And then you're probably going to ask me in a minute anyway, but for young Mason to come on and get a goal really rounded it off well for me.
Yeah, he showed he's been quite prolific since he's played about 10 minutes and scored twice in both his cup games, hasn't he?
Yeah, he don't hang about, does he? we really like Mason. He's a great kid, and he's got bags and bags of potential, and always had in my mind to involve him in some way in this game if I could. So it was brilliant to get him an opportunity to get on the field. And I said to him as he was going on that I knew he would get a chance, and I fancied he would score. Just the state of the game obviously was opening up, and we was creating a lot. So I fancied he might get a goal, and he didn't disappoint.
And obviously, there's games like today a chance to give players who are sort of on the edge of the squad a chance to come in. Would you make a Charlie today? Obviously, he's been out for a couple of weeks.
I thought Kirky took his time, but he grew into the game. Again, that was something like we addressed his positioning and Albie's positioning at half time. I just felt that, without going into too much detail, that we could have. We could have hurt them a little bit more with their positioning, and I thought they'd done it better in the second half. And it's good for Kirky, to go and get a 90 under his belt. It's been stop start for him since he's come to the club, and I thought he really grew into the game. He got his assist for Josh's goal, and I thought he was very productive in the second half.
What did you make of the crowd today? Paul Doswell said he was a bit disappointed from the Charlton fans that not so many turned up, but it felt like a fairly standard sort of FA Cup crowd for us. Were you expecting more?
That's the first it's even sort of crossed my mind. I thought the crowd made some really good noise. I understand, it's expensive to go to football. There's, lots of games that to choose between, and I would never criticise fans for that. The ones that were here made some great noise. I thought spurred the lads on in that second half, and was there to support them as they walked off with a victory. So, I thought the crowd was excellent.
So you're looking forward to Tuesday now. We're looking forward to seeing Pratt's again. But what sort of side are you going to be putting out at Leyton Orient?
Oh, I won't tell you the starting 11 just now, because obviously I have to see what comes out of tonight. And obviously I've got one eye on more than one eye on Saturday at Burton, with that game being on now. Obviously changes my thinking a little bit. The fact that we're through already is obviously something to consider as well. And I think it's a good opportunity to get some exposure for the younger players in our squad to senior football. But there'll also be opportunity for some of the seniors that perhaps could do with another game to get some minutes as well. So we'll be mixing it up in that game. But as always, it'll be a game that I'm going into trying to win.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Into the box, looking for Stockley, he gets it in, and there's the opening goal. Charlton has scored, a delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan, picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you guys are well. We're looking back at the 4-0 Cup win over Havant and Waterlooville. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson, admitted that he was a very relieved man after that first goal went in. But, we heard that he was slightly disappointed with the first half, Benji. We know that he's not going to be keen to see levels of intensity drop too often, and that's what he felt happened in that first period. That's something that he won't want to see happen again.
Well, yeah, in the interviews he's done so far as a manager, I think he's underlining the fact that he wants energy levels right at the top of their game and everyone showing their real enthusiasm for playing for Charlton, playing for the badge. And yeah, as Terry said, it was one of those games where they kind of parked the bus the first 20 minutes, half an hour of the game. And so it's always going to be hard to break a team down like that. But yeah, if their energy levels aren't there, then they're going to find it even harder. So he's given a few players the opportunity that aren't in his starting 11 plans yesterday to have a go. And he can now judge that as to whether they are in his plans going forward. Because if he is going to get the job full time, then these players have really got to show that they want to be part of it. Because as Terry said, so far this season, we've not seen too much from players that have really gone, I think he's been a bit harshly treated because I think he's done well this season. As our position is in the table, it shows that not many players have played well so far. Since Jack has come in, there's players like Elliot Lee who have really excelled, and George Dobson's now starting to have a regular run in the team. So it's up to these players that aren't getting in the team to show their desire to take the shirt. And as you said, first 45 minutes, first 60 minutes really, these players didn't really show enough to say, I want to be starting against Burton. But then once they started to tire, the likes of Blackett Taylor did show their quality. Charlie Kirk showed a bit of quality. So I don't know whether they'll get their chance again on Tuesday to show that. But yeah, it's all about how Jackson can change the team around to give these players their chances. But again, you can only give them their chance. If they're not willing to take it, then as he said, he'll pick someone else and give someone else a go. And someone like Burstow, he's there. He's got an opportunity this season. We're lacking strikers, aren't we, after Ronnie left? So it gives these players an opportunity, some youngsters to go. And nice to see Charles Claydon come on yesterday, because I think he's got a lot about him to show us as well.
Right. Before we go more into like your tweets and emails, which we normally do at this point, I'm actually going to play the interview from the opposition manager, a bit of it anyway, the bit that was relevant to us. Now, Paul Doswell came into the press conference and he wouldn't bloody leave, actually. He was in there for about 20 minutes, it felt like. But he was asked just a few questions about the game and straight away went on to say how disappointed he was with the turnout from the Addicts crowd. Let's have a listen to what Paul Doswell said after the game.
And that's what I'm saying. I'd never take anything away from the players for what they've done for the football club. You know, we probably earned 50, 60,000 out the run. I've got to say, really disappointed with the Charlton support here today. Now, we were hoping for 10,000 and I don't know what the crowd was, but it didn't look very many. So for Charlton not to turn up and support us as well, you know, it's not the crowd that we were expecting or hoping for. So really disappointed with them. You know, £10 and £5, you'd have thought they'd have supported their team.
But your supporters came here, about a quarter of the crowd, I think, and made a lot of noise.
Yeah, 1,000 supporters came and they've had a fantastic day out. We knew they would win, lose or draw. As I said, for 73 minutes, they'd have been like us, you know, believing that little dream was possible. To get them back to haven't. You know, but clubs like us rely on, you know, finances. We rely on, you know, teams like Charlton putting together a half-decent crowd. And you know, I was stunned at the lack of Charlton supporters here today. I thought it was terrible.
Yeah, and like I say, you don't judge us today in terms of the way we played, because, you know, we had to play like that to try and, you know, stop a very, very good Charlton side. I mean, you know, I watched them, Sunderland, Doncaster, I thought they were excellent against Rotherham. And you know, Johnny Jacobs has had a brilliant bounce here, you know, in terms of what the crowd, and that's why I thought the crowd would be here today. I thought they'd be here to support him and the team, but I think he's done a fantastic job in the three or four games he's had. And it wouldn't surprise me, you know, the way that the intensity they're playing with, if they do make the playoffs this year. And it might seem a long way away, but it's a long season. And I think they've got enough in that building to really have a go at making the playoffs. We'll be very close anyway.
There we go. I was a bit surprised. I know in the build-up, Terry, Paul had mentioned that he was hoping for a crowd of 10,000, and we all sort of scoffed, like, yeah, you don't really know what's going on around here, mate. In terms of cup games, we don't get that sort of crowd. Yeah, it was really quite scathing with his disappointment in that clip there, and I don't know, it felt like he was laying it on a bit thick.
Oh, poor old Dozzy. He clearly hasn't been paying attention, has he? Because, you know, it's not just us either, by the way. Second round cup games. I mean, if he was expecting a bumper 10,000-plus crowd, he really hasn't been looking very hard at what's been going on. I had a quick look. When I first heard that story, I had a quick look at their, you know, what they've been doing in the league attendance-wise. And funnily enough, I had a quick check, and their second round FA Cup tie, I think, when they were they just got through the first round qualifying. But anyway, the second game that they beat Beaconsfield, I think they only had about 200 people there. So, you know, even their crowd didn't think the second round was worth turning up for. So it's just one of them things at the moment. And, you know, back in the day, maybe you'd have got a 12, 13,000 crowd if we're top of the league and flying and in the Championship possibly, then that might happen. But, you know, we're in the lower reaches of League One, for goodness sake. And we haven't really produced the goods, let's say, in the FA Cup that often. So, you know, he's just sour grapes in it, really, and he's just looking for reasons to deflect attention away from whatever he wants to. But, yeah, it's just... I don't take no notice of it, particularly. He's a non-league manager. We probably won't come across him that often, so he can think what he likes, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting the way he sort of mentioned that, Benji, that he thinks that clubs like Havant and Waterlooville, I mean, he said the Trump fans should come out to support us, you know, as in Havant, as much as them. Like, you know, do we have a moral obligation to go to games like this? I mean, it's a tenner and a fiver. It's not the most expensive seasons of the ticket, tickets of the season, but we're coming out of a pandemic. Going football ain't cheap if you're, you know, mum, dad, two kids. That's 40 quid or 30 quid already. You know, so it is a fair old whack of money. And there's been three home games this week as well. And like I say, it's the cup. Like, I mean, It is the biggest game of the season for Havant and Waterlooville. I accept that, but for us, it's—I mean—the only reason it's not the smallest game is because we had to play an under 21 team in the Papa John's.
Well, yeah, and the FA Cup's just—it's lost its buzz for what it used to be, as well. I think people don't look at it as a glorified competition that it used to be, and I mean, we've gone into it this year in the first round. Last year, obviously, there were no fans, but the year before, we went in the third round. So it's a little bit different. But no, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. It's their big day out and they want a big atmosphere and they've turned up in decent numbers. But at the same time, unfortunately, it just doesn't mean as much to our fans to come in at the first round like that. But yeah, look, we all support non-league football as much as we can. And it's great to see a team like that coming down and bringing a load of fans, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, he needs to have a look at the wide range of football world and look at the other attendances around, because they all were not big and pretty poor. So that's nothing to do with Charlton as a club. It's more to do with the way the FA Cup's devalued now.
Yeah, it is a shame, but that is the case. I did ask you guys for some of your views on what Paul Doswell said. Dan said that we played a National League South side in a round where we normally play our youth. For them, they pulled a good team. For us, it's a boring fixture where we should win. To criticise a team who's had one of the best supports last few years going through our owners is sour. Simon says that a ticket promo should be done ahead of the second round. Tickets for the league games beforehand with an option to include a ticket with discount for a cup game or a separate loyalty scheme for cup games. Thoughts on that? By the way, I went yesterday and it was good in the end. Yeah, I do know there are certain rules on the levels of pricing that you can do in the FA Cup, whether that includes like sort of promotions and stuff like that, I'm not really sure. But yeah, there are so, like, they can't just turn around and make all the tickets free, for example. But there are certain rules that govern how much your tickets cost for the cup games. David said, in respect, I guess Doswell probably expected a big payday. Realistically, it was always going to be a low gate, although I thought, given the JJ effect and recent form, it would be bigger than the 3,900, given that Havant bought close to 900. I thought we'd make over 5,000. Pompey had 6,800 at home. Reece says, I think their manager is deflecting the attention away from their capitulation at the end there, although there's no need. At the end of the day, it's a first round tie between a team in League One and the National League South, the exact reason why Havant took thousands more to Anfield. Dave says, I agree with the sentiments on here. Paul Doswell's comments should be more thoughtful given the current climate, prices, reflected fixture, and the status of both clubs. Supporters pick and choose their game. Mark says, we don't get big crowds in the cup because we're a third division club who's one of the worst cup records in history. Stu says, I would have gone but was working, plus have to prioritise matches according to income. Finchie says, for as long as I can remember, the league has always been prioritised by the managers. As a result, supporters get bored with watching the 23 team losing in the cup. Jacko clearly loves the FA Cups and maybe he can reverse the trend. And Ryan says, because we never get past the third round, we want out of this league, more importantly. Unfortunately, we're not bothered about funding Havant and Waterlooville. Yeah, I mean, you can see it touched a nerve. It was a slightly... I did find the comments slightly strange, Terry. It's like, you know, considering like the Charlton fans applauded the team off for a good performance from Haven and, you know, including Paul Doswell, it just seems strange that he was so focused on that afterwards.
He would appear to have a reputation in that sort of thing, apparently, down in non-league. So, look, there were one comment that I heard on the tweets that that is true, and you mentioned about the rules governing ticket pricing. You cannot give complimentaries away. You can't give free tickets away, so you can't have thousands of free school kids turning up because the gate is shared, I think it's 50-50 or 47-53, whatever it is. So because you have to share the gate receipts, you can't give away any tickets. We did offer an incentive for, I think, under-11s. It was £1. I know my grandson came to his first FA Cup game with his mum, so that swelled the crowd by two, and his ticket was £1. So I thought that was a decent price for an under-11. So they were there, the incentives, if you wanted to bring under-11s. But as Benji said, you know, maybe the FA Cup just doesn't have the same value. I mean, give you an indication of that, and I know it's a generation thing, but you know, I asked Oliver, my grandson, if he was going to make a tinfoil FA Cup replica just to wave around the flag. He looked at me like I was on another planet. So I think it's, you know, yeah, so it's just changing times. And yeah. And then sadly, and you could point back to a lot of things that's happened over the last 10 or 15 years where the FA Cup's been devalued, and loads of people have mentioned it, you know, the movement of kick-off times, the sponsorship, the whole fact that, you know, the draw's not made immediately after the Saturday anymore, and, you know, the finals on a Sunday on a ridiculous o'clock just to suit television. So there's loads of reasons why it doesn't have the same value it used to have. But Johnny Jackson was good to his word. He said he was going to put a strong side out. And I know that people have said, yeah, there's a few second string players in there, but you look at the bench as well. He was good to his word. He put a side out that that was a decent side that should have won and did.
Yeah, 60 League One starts between those 11 that started already this season for the Addicts. Right, some views on the games as well. Sam said, I felt at first half we were too relaxed and should have been a bit more ruthless in our attack. Second half was a massive difference. Pleased to be through to the next round, though. Colin says, Charlie Kirk, for me, was the player who stood out. Didn't stop all game and tried to make things happen. Blackett Taylor looked better once the opposition tired. Same for Watson against tired opposition. And Burstow was fearless when he came on. A couple of emails as well. Reg said, Johnny Jackson, our manager. That's it. That's the tweet. Yeah, calling for that to be sorted as soon as possible, as am I. Phil says, hi, guys. Strange game yesterday. It looked for 70 minutes that the players not selected previously by JJ thought they were still playing for Nigel Adkins. They looked to be lacking in confidence, not taking players on, and possibly afraid if they made a mistake, there would be headline material today. It looked like they were trying to show JJ that his previous team selections were right and that they didn't deserve to be considered. But then enter Elliot Lee and Ben Watson, and we're a different team bursting with confidence and spirit. Fair result in the end. A bit harsh possibly on Havant and Waterlooville, but they certainly gave us a game for 70 minutes before they ran out of legs. I thought closing the North Upper was a big mistake as you disperse the area where the covered end choir reside around the open areas and totally lose all the home atmosphere. Their fans gave it a good go and got fully behind their team all match. On to Leighton Orient, and hopefully those players now understand what is expected of them despite not having anything to play for other than to impress Johnny Jackson. Sorry to see that Benji Nurik is leaving for Pastures News. Produced some excellent articles in recent times, and I won't miss that. Yeah, Benji Nurik who's obviously been writing around the club for the last couple of years and been editing the programme this year, is got a job elsewhere, so unfortunately yesterday was his last game. But you know, as he knows, when we spoke to him in person yesterday, we all wish him all the very best, and it's been an absolute pleasure to have him around the place. And I know there's big things happening for him in the future, and don't confuse him with our Benji, who's got nothing planned in the future. Have you, Benji?
Well, yeah, and I don't have his accent as well, so that'd be a bit confusing.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, one more email as well. This one comes in from Liz. We were a bit slow and lifeless in the first half. Many of them hadn't played together as a team. Fans, including me, were a bit quiet, and it wasn't a great atmosphere in the first half. Different team, though, in the second half, and Lee made a real difference. Great goal. Mason, get him signed up properly. Great to be through to the next round, and perhaps we'll have a real cup run this year for a change. JJ really seems to be working some magic, and like Pierce said, we now seem to have some direction. Thomas must be thinking about giving him the permanent job now. Thanks for the always entertaining pod. That's from Liz. Yeah, thanks, Liz. And yeah, I really hope that Thomas is thinking about that. I'm going to keep banging that drum until he does it, basically. We want JJ to have the job ASAP. ASAP, please, Thomas. Right, what's next? We've got Jaden Stockley to speak to. He came in to speak to me after the game yesterday. Obviously got his two goals, one of which he nicked from Pap Suare. Let's hear what he... let's hear how guilty you felt about that. But this is his views on the performance.
I've been a part of a lot of the games like that. It was a credit to Havant. They put a lot of men behind the ball and... just, you know, probably looking to take it to a replay, which, you know, you want to avoid, especially when you get a home tie. I thought they were very professional and put a lot of men behind the ball. And it's probably a different task than what we've been asked a lot of times this season. You know, a lot of front foot games, and it was a test that it took us a bit of a while to come to get the better of. But, you know, once the first went in, it got enjoyable after that.
One of those games where you have to remain quite patient, obviously haven't with a lot of men behind the ball.
Yeah, it's difficult. You've got to move the ball fast. I think that you can get, you know, easily caught up in the whole tie and you know, start to take more touches on the ball, and that's exactly what they want, to slow the game down as much as possible, time waste a little bit, and it's up to us to create the tempo.
And obviously another couple of goals to yourself, it's ticking along nicely. Talk us through the second one in particular. I think Pat might have a question to ask there.
Oh, he was devastated. I said, Pap, you had a whole goal to aim for and you've hit it towards me. Of course I'm going to stick my foot out. I was just hoping it went offside, because then he would have probably had a reason to be really angry. But he's got the biggest smile ever, so he was happy for me. And like I said, I was desperate to play in the game today, because I saw it as a chance to hopefully get some goals. And as a striker, I think you want to be out there every minute when there's goals to be had.
Yeah, and as I say, it's sort of ticking along nicely for you this season. You've been quite pleased with your goal return.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice to get to 10 now, and got my eyes fully set on a season of big numbers, and hopefully contributing to a team that's successful.
There we go. Always good to speak to Jaden. Always find him a really interesting conversation. We've got another clip of his that's going to come up first, but that was quite funny, Ben, when he was talking about nicking the goal off... Pap Suare, Pap saying that Pap was absolutely devastated. But to be fair to Jaden, I guess you're the striker, you're on the goal line, you want a goal, don't you? That's unfortunately the way it works.
Well, he got a goal nicked off by Jason Pearson in the Pizza Trophy, didn't he? So he knew, and that was for his hat trick as well, I think. So yeah, as a goal scorer, you just got to take it, add one to the tally, whatever way they come. So I don't blame him. But it was great reactions from Suare to get there, first of all, to ping it back across goal. But yeah, I don't blame Jaden there at all. It brings confidence to him as well.
It was funny. And obviously, 10 up for the season now in all competitions, Terry. He had a really difficult month. It seems like a million years ago now, but he didn't score at all in September. Obviously found himself out of the starting lineup by the end of the month. But I mean, that seems a long time ago now. And I asked him, yesterday about playing as part of a two. I'm not sure. I don't think it made that clip, but it'll definitely make the SLP tomorrow when we release the full interview. But I mean, for me, when he's got someone alongside him, I think he looks even better. And even though he has played as a one throughout his career and got a lot of goals, but I think for us, he seems to be better in part of a two.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I don't disagree with that necessarily, being part of a two and being better. But I mean, technically, he was part of a three before that, so you'd think he should be even better still. I'm more of the opinion that the fact that we play at five across the middle now, with the two wing backs, is the principal reason why he's better. He doesn't have to keep coming short as often, because whereas we were only playing a three, we were overrunning midfield. He was trying to come too deep to try and collect the ball, and when he does that, if he does collect the ball and pass it off, he's well out of position to benefit from it in the first place. So I think the fact, yes, there's a two, it gives him support up there, no question. But I think more importantly for me, that five-man midfield with that we're bossing, certainly since Johnny has come in as manager, has proved a revelation for him, because he's getting supply. He doesn't have to, you know, constantly come running short. He can probably rely as well on the likes of Connor Washington and or Josh Davison to run into the channel, so he doesn't have to. And so therefore, he's more in the right positions than he was before. So, I think, and you know, he can score goals. I mean, goodness me, he's done it before and he's currently doing it again. I'd have been disappointed if he hadn't nicked that goal off a Pap, to be honest, because he was in the right position. Listen, his header probably wasn't going in, the one that Jason Pearce nicked. So if players start leaving balls to... because they think they're going in, we're going to chalk off about 10 goals a season. So I'd much rather him be on the spot and actually finish it to make sure.
Yeah, certainly. Ruthless from him yesterday. I mean, do you think Ben, can he get 20 goals this season?
Definitely, I think he can. But as Tel said, he needs that service rather than like being a target man like for players to ping the ball to. He needs to give it out to the wingers more, like we did against Doncaster. Him getting in the box, getting his bonce on the end of it. And that's the way he's going to score goals. But we have to play to his strengths rather than lumping it up there to him and him playing as a hold-up player. He needs to be the one getting in the box and getting on the end of the crosses.
Excellent stuff. Right, there was one more clip from Jaden yesterday that I reckon we can keep this story going all season, Terry, if we try our hardest, the headbutt story, because we're about 3 weeks after the game now, and I brought it up again. Do you reckon it's for the best?
Oh, absolutely, and I think as long as Mr. Johnson's still in a manager's job, it's fair game. Absolutely,
well, I've lost every game. Don't get me wrong.
He'll come out with some more belters. Don't get me wrong, but I think the more we can remind him of this one, the better.
Excellent stuff. So I did ask Jaden Stockley. I mean, when we were speaking to him, he mentioned the Sunderland game just because it was obviously one of the results where we've done well recently. And all of a sudden, it flicked in my head to say, "Oh, we haven't actually asked him about that accusation from Lee Johnson that suggested that." Our striker Jaden Stockley had headbutted Tom Flanagan during the game. So I just asked Jaden what he made of that accusation, and basically, did he want to say anything on the matter?
I just think, you know, sometimes comments like that can be just used to cover up a result. I think in terms of, I don't think it's right that it gets put out there in the media in terms of other refs can be influenced. You know, I think it was a game just after that. I think Rotherham the other night, you know, when things like that get banished around, then the refs sometimes jump on it and have a preconceived, you know, of what sort of player I am. So I think, you know, it should be monitored what gets put out there, especially as players. You can't say too much. So I think there should be a bit of a respect when words like that get banished about.
Yeah, it turns out he did want to say something on the matter. He wasn't happy, was he, Ben? I mean, That was quite a serious accusation, and Jaden clearly feels that it's going, I mean, it is probably going to colour his image in referees' minds, if nothing else. And considering nothing's come of it, I mean, it's clearly a false accusation from the video evidence we've seen. You know, Lee Johnson said he was headbutted Tom Flanagan flush in the face, as if he'd ran at him and laid the nut on him, when obviously that was never what happened.
Yeah, he's totally right in that interview, because then it gives him a bad name. And as he said, like, you look at a Rotherham game on Tuesday, he got booked, after 5 minutes? Because the referee's got in his head, oh, I know him to be a dangerous player and he can't control it himself and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, from what I've seen of him so far, yeah, he gets stuck in, he jumps around and makes sure he gets his head onto the ball to win the headers. But I don't at all think he's a violent player. I haven't seen that at all from him, really. So, yeah, it must be annoying for him. And as he said, players don't really get that voice afterwards to go, oh, well, this is what I think. I think I'm being harshly treated, etc. Whereas Lee Johnson can go ahead and say that interview afterwards, because ultimately Lee Johnson's annoyed that his side lost the game and he'll try and pick an excuse out of something. Where in reality, that's then turned against Jaden, and then referees are watching him. But more importantly, players of the opposition, their managers probably saying to him before they go out there, oh, get close to him, fall over a bit, make a meal of it, and then he'll get booked, and then he's walking a tightrope for the rest of the game, which is, of course, what happened against Rotherham. So he needs to come out and say his piece, which you've given him there, so he can kind of stand up for himself and say, look, I think I'm being harshly treated here, because as a big striker like him, he's got to jump, he's got to use his arms to jump, but again, I've not seen anything in him that shows that he's violent in that way.
Right, so all we need now is for someone to ask Lee Johnson about it again in a couple of weeks, and we'll get it going for another month. Right, just before we look ahead to Leyton Orient, Alfie's tweeted in, Terry, saying, going into the winter period, Gallen will now be looking at what's available come January. Where do you think we can strengthen? In my eyes, I don't think we've seen anybody's or everybody's true qualities yet due to the lack of form, so we can't easily interpret our strengths or our weaknesses. I mean, is there a position on the field you think at the moment? Maybe I don't know, defender, because we've suffered a couple of injuries, but obviously we've now got Deji signed up, so that's another option there.
Yeah, I guess it depends how Deji performs, but you'd expect him to perform as well as he has done up to this point. But he is still quite young, so it wouldn't surprise me if we were going to strengthen, we'd look at the centre-half positions. You also look at the way we're playing now, and I think we're okay in wide areas, but if the likes of George Dobson gets injured, for example, is Harry Arter an automatic replacement? His injury situation is not great, and he's a lone player. Do we sign him, look to sign somebody permanent in that sort of as a cover for that George Dobson position? And strikers, we've got Connor Washington and of course Stockley and Davison, an experienced striker maybe if any one of them three gets injured. Is, you know, we have got a decent squad, and the issue is we probably have to let some players go as well. It's not a case of just adding to it. I think with the squad size, you'd probably have to be looking at players going out as well as coming in. So it's actually, I think, January, if we are going to bring players in, it's going to be one of the toughest we've had, because, you know, they might, Johnny Jackson and Steve Gallen might have to be a bit ruthless.
Yeah, and they're never easy anyway for us. Right, let's have a quick look ahead then to the Pepperoni Trophy Tuesday. We're travelling to Leyton Orient. Benji, you've got your ticket. I mean, looking forward to it. Obviously, Darren Prattley will hopefully be playing for Leyton Orient. Looking forward to seeing him again. Hopefully, he'll get a good ovation if he comes anywhere near the away end. But yeah, I mean, Jacko didn't give much away when I asked him what sort of team he'll be looking at. But are we thinking quite a few changes for this one now? Because we have got a game coming up on a Saturday that we need to concentrate on.
Yeah, I imagine, as you said, got a game on a Saturday, so we don't want to risk some key players getting injured, especially as we're without Gunter and Washington, who are away on international duty. But hopefully, look, pressure's off. Both teams are already through to the next round, so hopefully it'll be an entertaining game. Tickets are a fiver, so I thought that was a really good deal. I think we're taking over 400 or 500 fans, so we haven't played Leyton Orient away in about 10 years. Was that when Hamer got sent off on New Year's Eve, that game? But yeah, looking forward to it, because if the likes of Claydon or Burstow get a go in the side, which hopefully they will, they can make a claim. As Tel said, we have got a few wingers at the club now, but yeah, you'd like to see someone like Burstow given a chance, because as I say, we haven't got many strikers in the squad, and it would be nice to see him given a go from the off, because as you said, he's only been given 2 5-minute cameos to show what he can do, and he's excelled in both of them. So I'd like to see him start. Elaware again, Henston another guy in goal, and maybe Albie Morgan again, see, give him a chance where the pressure's off a bit more, so it'd be show what he can really do.
Excellent stuff. Right, I think we've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live. Thanks for everyone who's tuned in to this this week's show. We've actually recorded slightly earlier, so we can't give you the final score in the women's game, but they've got about 2 minutes left and they're goalless up at Sheffield United. So hopefully they'll be able to hang on for at least a point, or maybe even go and find a winner in the closing stages there. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thank you to everyone who sent in your messages. Thanks to Ben and Terry who joined me outside of the usual time this Sunday afternoon. Thanks, guys.
Cheers,
Luke. Cheers, Benji.
Good to speak to you all. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back on Thursday to look back at the game against Leyton Orient, and of course ahead to next Saturday's trip to Burton. So we shall see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.